rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Good morning, Lizzie.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
We just went out to the greenhouse and I showed Legs. We have our first tomato sprout. That's so exciting.
Yep.
It's not quite, it's got the little curve, you know, it's just poking out. It hasn't quite lifted up, but you can just see it pushing out. It's the very first one. We planted a lot of seeds. We've got
the
tomatoes
weekend.
Planted, but we need to get our vegetables in, so that's exciting. And we're on Punk Farming Week, and this episode is on John Kemp. And last Friday we did OGs of Cycling, and Legs' hero, Sean Kelly, cyclist Sean Kelly, and this is one of my biggest heroes. And when you think of like OG, that means an original gangster, thinking something that's kind of a little bit antiquated. And John Kemp is really a young fellow, but he's an old soul. And the definition of OG now is this kind of the equivalent of excellence in whatever it is. And so he's definitely OG in my opinion.
He's been carrying the torch for a while.
That's true. That's true. He has been carrying the torch for a while. So I'm a little nervous because there's so much to say about him. And then in his field, everything that he talks about, well, many things are quite detailed and advanced in the area of farming. And I don't know if any, if, have you learned a language?
Poorly. You know that, poorly. Enough to be able to order food and get around.
Well, whenever you're learning something, it's my experience that learning something that's very detailed, that you just need to let it wash over you. And if you're learning a language, initially you can be frustrated if you're feeling like you're supposed to be grasping all the elements of it. Instead, you just need to immerse yourself and let it wash over you and repeatedly be in it. And then your brain is learning when you don't even realize that sometimes that you're learning. I will add, when we're in our third act in our life, and the ability to recall specific information, for me anyway, I won't speak for Legs, is slightly diminished from, let's say, my 20s or 30s or 40s. So that's why I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So I want to just start by saying that, I haven't felt emotional in any of the podcasts like this. But I want to start by saying that I'm really, really grateful for this human on the planet and all that he has brought to nature and farming and people. And it's really just the tip of the iceberg. John Kemp is the founder of Advancing Eco-Agriculture, and he is also has the podcast, the Regenerative Agriculture Podcast. So if you have any interest whatsoever, and even if you don't, I highly recommend going to the podcast. And if you're going to listen to one episode, there's so many beautiful episodes. There's two approaches, I would say. Go to the Regenerative Agriculture Podcast and go to episode 100, and you're going to hear about John Kemp. He's interviewed by another farmer, and of course I don't have my notes open. James Johnson is a fourth generation farmer, and he has an episode that where John Kemp interviewed him, episode 75. So you can go and learn more about John Kemp, And some of his big ideas on farming and things that he has found through researching. And a lot of these, what I started at the very beginning. I am working on a book in my Pater the Water Dog series, and it's on food systems. Each book is on an environmental topic, and this book will be coming out in a few months. It's called Mono Mutante. And so back about a year ago, I started on episode one, and I listen on my walks. A few months later, I had the good fortune to speak with John with some questions I had regarding kind of a co-op project that Legs and I were talking about doing at the time. And he was just so generous to spend that time with me. I also spent a little time with them because the local tribe here in Colusa didn't have any organic farming at the time, and I was interested in them talking with John's company, and they were very, you know, helpful in that regard too. So I thought we would just start. I know you said you had some questions about regenerative. And is there anything that comes to mind about that general?
Actually, it is a general question because, and I'm sure many listeners might wonder, what is regenerative farming? You know, they hear about it. Organic, etc. So what is regenerative farming?
So you'd think after listening to over 100 John Kemp podcasts, I would have a quick explanation. And regenerative farming is, if you were to take, as we talked about with the women farmers, if you were to take organic farming, which basically is meeting certain requirements of your inputs not being anything on a certain list of that they consider bad, and take it further to develop as much life on the property as you can, and the most diversity, the most life in terms of, you know, birds and insects and gathering beneficial insects. And there are some, I didn't get it set up, but I will. I have on my personal website, but we use our nicknames. So I don't think I'll out myself because I'm not here to promote my... But you can jump in.
So one thing, if it's my understanding, what regenerative farming is, is it's no tilling, correct?
No.
Okay, so I'm not going to give out this information. I'm going to let you do your thing.
Oh, no, no, but I like you asking that, like, because no, it leads to conversation. Yeah, I think there are many directions we can go in this podcast.
Right.
And the regenerative specifics is not what we're going to do.
Okay.
So there's a broad spectrum. What I did want to mention is there are several certifications and verifications out now, and we are going to have a free download when this podcast comes out of what those are. There is one cheat sheet that can be found at Regenerative Food Systems Investment. It's rfsi-forum.com, and it includes things like the OG of regenerative standards, which would be Demeter, which is biodynamic, which started in 1928. And biodynamic was a Rudolf Steiner. He wrote about the processes. And then in 2017, regenerative organic certified came about. And then there's about, you know, from 7 to 10 various certifications that take organic and finesse this goal to create an even healthier ecosystem, including looking at, you know, supply chain and employees. Some look at carbon more than others, etc. And I think I'll just say this, that the more diluted and broad it becomes, the more susceptible it is to, you know, like the term greenwashing, and how organic has been used by some companies that do not have healthy products.
Right, it doesn't mean as much as it once did.
Exactly.
Got it, okay.
And so we're in this time when we're trying to, you know, John Kemp speaks about this, and I highly recommend, you know, getting on his podcast, and he speaks about this often, that when organic came about, it drew a line in the sand between those that were and those who weren't, and that wasn't always a good thing. And he is working, it sounds as though he is working to try to avoid that while still having transparency and integrity. And actually, his new verification is called Integrity Grown. He's working with cotton right now. But if it is too broad, then you have people like the chemical companies trying to adopt the word and take advantage of the word. So it's all being worked out, and it's in flux.
Right.
No-till is definitely a direction many farmers are moving towards, it or have gone to no-till or a strip-till version, and which is kind of in the middle. But it's not required. So it's not a requirement of regenerative farming, because some crops like potatoes, for example, or other crops, you have to get those potatoes out. And I don't know everything about it. I'm probably misspeaking about potatoes.
No more than me. That's why, I'm a wannabe farmer, and I'm just trying to learn. And I'm just trying to learn. And so it's really interesting that I think it's actually wonderful that they're not putting a line in the sand yet, and they're trying to figure things out.
Yeah. So we'll include, you know, some things in the show notes, the kind of the list of the certifications, and each of those sites would have their definition of regenerative. On my personal site, I'm a conservation real estate broker as my day gig. Regenerative real estate is an age-old system of stewarding the land, acting one with nature to expand life. So that is a real estate definition that I provided. This is a quote from one of John Kemp's podcasts with Gabe Brown, South Dakota farmer Gabe Brown. When I was of the conventional mindset, I used to wake up every day trying to decide what I was going to kill that day. Was it going to be a weed? Was it going to be a fungus? Was it going to be a pest? I was going to kill something every day. Now I wake up thinking about how to get more life onto my operation, and how it's much more enjoyable working with life than with death. And then I have some quotes from John Kemp I'm going to save until the end.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you. I appreciate it. That helps me a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll be talking more about it and more specifics. And I think when we get to know more of the farmers, I've been in it listening to all the different farmers farming regeneratively. And so from a big picture, I would say it's a journey. I just re-listened to most of episode 100 with John, and I have my notes here, so I'm going to jump around, and hopefully I won't be too all over the place. But in one part of the podcast, he said that it's not that humans or plants are either healthy or unhealthy. It's a spectrum, and in the middle between healthy and unhealthy is pre-disease. And so he spends a lot of time talking about how it's not about the soil. You hear a lot for decades now that soil health is the thing, and he speaks about that. Without plants, soil would just be a lot of decomposed rocks, and that plants are what's creating all the life, and the sun is the energy that's creating the cycle. And if you do decide to take a deep dive into John Kemp, or even a shallow dive, the biggest takeaway for me is that we're so close in our physiology to the plants in terms of the health of our microbiome, and his focus is building the health of the plant, and it's the same for us, that our microbiology needs to be very healthy so we can build our immune system. And so that's what he works on in his farming and his advising, and the products that he sells are to strengthen the health of the plant, to get to a point where the plants are so healthy that when a fungus or a disease comes through, they're resistant. That when pests come through, they're resistant. And you may or may not know that, and I didn't know before I listened to the podcast, that, and some of the experts and mentors that he speaks with, is that an unhealthy plant attracts the bugs. So when it gets weak, bugs can detect it for like miles. And I was, when we were talking about Carmel Bella Farm in Northern Idaho, I was reading how she was in an interview, and how she handles, you know, like pests or whatever. And she's just always in the garden. She's very active. If something, she sees something, she'll get rid of it, take it far away. And so there's a lot, but the gist of it is he's working to help people build the health of the plant so that we don't need all of the nasty chemicals.
Or nature will take care of.
Yes.
Right.
I'm going to go through a few things and jump in if you have any questions. And John grew up in Northeast Ohio in the snow belt south of Lake Erie, where it is, it has like 288 days of cloud cover and 40 inches of rain. So this really damp climate that he says was a petri dish for disease. And his father and brothers were farming vegetables since 1994, or his father started. And they had this cantaloupe field that they had been farming for quite a few years. And then they took over another area of land that just had dairy on it and had not had a lot of pesticides. And they were farming before very intensively with pesticides. And his aha moment was when this powdery mildew arrived to the cantaloupes. It was like 80% on the land that had had the pesticides, and not a bit on the part that didn't have any pesticides. And from there, he started his journey, and he started his company when he was in his teens. He started AEA, and Advancing Eco Agriculture, when he was in his teens. And his dad finally said, hey, you know, you could either stay here with us and help us with that, or you can go off and help other farmers, but you probably can't do both. And because he loved it so much, he ventured off. He is part of the Amish community there, and my heart just feels so full when I think about this. A couple of the stories that I really love are that when, I think I've told you this before, that when a barn burned down in their community, within just a couple of days, the barn was rebuilt. And when we talk about punk, which we didn't mention our definition, so we might as well do it now. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, yeah.
Since my voice is mostly...
You're from the farming family, and I'm learning. So, Legs and Lizzie's definition of punk is unity, DIY, nonconformity, strength, speaking out against injustice, community, compassion, equality, and peace, and damn good music. And hopefully John Kemp will listen to punk music someday.
And John might say, and darn good music.
Darn good music. Yeah, that's right.
I meant to say when we started that my dream, I probably should have ended with this, but I have some other things to end with. My dream would be to be two or three years from now to have our farming to a point where we're actually clients of AEA, and hopefully over the years beyond that to become, you know, actual friends with John, because yes, I'm just, he is a big hero of mine, and some of my other heroes are no longer living. Rachel Carson would be one, but we don't edit, but we may need to edit this little barking out. Come here, buddy. Come lay down. Good boy.
Come on, buddy.
Good boy. The other part of, yeah, so I wanted to just say punk is community and inclusion and unity. It's also speaking out against the wrong, and John does that all the time. I think the other things I just wanted to mention is he has a book. It says Volume 1. I don't know that there's Volume 2, but these are, it's called Quality. I'm holding it up to the YouTube video. It's called Quality Agriculture, Conversations About Regenerative Agronomy with Innovative Scientists and Growers, Volume 1, John Kemp. And you can get this on acresusa.com. And it's a great way to read. It's basically some of the early podcast interviews in print. And the other, I realized I just can't look up. I plan to look on my phone. I take notes when I'm listening to the podcast, but on that episode 100, he really always doesn't, I'm trying to think the word, like pull punches, is that the phrase?
Yeah. He tells it like it is. Yeah.
He talks about the successes once they've worked on land and the how much of the inputs are decreased when things are dialed in and the appropriate ratios of everything is when everything's going well. And he speaks very strongly to say that, you know, the chemical salespeople, you know, the only people benefiting by all the chemicals going on the land are the chemical salespeople and the chemical companies, and that with the current analysis that can be done, it can save a lot of money and start to rebuild the health of the plants and the, you know, the environment and bring back nature. So I really encourage everybody to listen to that episode 100 and then dig into other ones if you can. And I think that is the gist. Will include a free download of some of the regenerative certifications. The other Amish tidbit that he included in that episode was that he was able to get any book at his library, and that library in his community has the largest per person readership of any library in the U.S. because really? They're so close to the Amish community. He says he has a formal eighth grade education. I think that might just be what happens there, right? Because you go on to work. But he's just really, really...
And you wrote a book of that nature.
Oh my gosh. And when you hear him speak, he's really, really brilliant. So I will just go on to read a few quotes. And just, I fumbled a bit at the end because there's so much related to the details of what makes plants grow well. And I have a little farmer background with my roses, and you're just in the field, you're seeing things grow and what's happening. I was organic, and it was such a beautiful experience. And but all of what he studied over his, and the library story is how he got a lot of his early information. He started studying, you know, a lot of these publications of scientists back in the day were kind of pushed down, all of that knowledge and how people were farming because of this wave of chemical agriculture. And when you go back and read some of those things, it's like, whoa, you know, those there were papers and farmers and people, university people, writing about these things that are the natural, healthy way to grow things with a more production and fewer chemicals, and that was happening before. And so it's almost like the medieval ages of farming, right? The dark ages,
right?
Where we're in this, trying to get out of this dark period, and you know, those companies and the people making that money, they're not going to go down easy, and they're going to try to get their hands into some of this regenerative agriculture movement however they can. So I think it's important to make sure, you know, if you're a farmer, you're working with companies that have some background in it. And
it is my understanding that in addition to the production that comes from regenerative farming, there's a huge positive environmental impact, that if more farmers, it's not just the pesticides and eating and, you know, stopping that and eating healthy, it's also how it's going to affect the world and affect the environment. And so there's, I mean, it's a win-win situation. You're eating healthy and you're helping the environment, and we're stopping the chemicals. And it's interesting, the people that are that sell those chemicals don't want you to stop, and it's the petrochemical companies that want to continue to burn fossil fuels. And they're all together, really it's greed and making money. And this earth cannot last if we continue. So this is something that has to be embraced. And John right now sounds like a one man, you know, out there standing, you know, the old standing there on his soapbox, but he's more than that. And I can understand why he's a hero.
Yeah, he's not alone. He's shared the stories of all of these people. He started this podcast. I think it was number one in Earth Science on Apple. I mean, he's grown this podcast, and so he's definitely not alone. He'd be the first one to say
that. That's how movement gets going.
Exactly. He's very punk.
Yeah, exactly. That's my
that
point.
Might be the title. Why, right. John Kemp is punk.
Right. And doesn't know it. Doesn't know it, but he is.
Well, he's a big proponent of getting, you know, the money in the whole system, the food systems, back to the communities, to the farmers. You know, the smallest amount of money is in the farmer, you know, that the farmer gets. And in this commodity style of farming, that's the way it works. But if we're buying food closer to home, where we go and find our local farmer and we buy food that's grown closer, and also some of the other entities in the supply chain are investing in the communities, that's what he's a big proponent for, so that people, when they're thinking about what they're going to do with their lives and they're in college, whatever their plan is for their life, that farming can be an option. And you know, there's, I think it's, is it 1% in farming now? It used to be 90%. There's some say that if we can get back to 10% of farmers, that we would be in good shape, and maybe eventually more. So I just wanted to end with some poetry. I wanted to say, you know, John Kemp, thank you so much, and I'm just so grateful. I know Legs is grateful too, and there's so many people that are so grateful for you. And the first poem that I did, you have any questions before I read these?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you for sharing this episode with me. It means a lot. And so the first poem is by another hero of mine, Wendell Berry, and this poem has been altered to be it doesn't say man anymore.
That's
I was
okay.
Going to change it to woman, but I changed it to human. The human born to farming. The grower of trees, the gardener, the human born to farming, whose hands reach into the ground and sprout. To them, the soil is a divine drug. They enter into death yearly and come back rejoicing. They have seen the light lie down in the dung heap and rise again in the corn. their thought passes along the row ends like a mole. What miraculous seed have they swallowed that the unending sentence of their love flows out of their mouth like a vine clinging in the sunlight and like water descending in the dark? That was Wendell Berry. This is another quote. Can anyone believe it is possible to lay down such a barrage of poisons on the surface of the earth without making it unfit for all life? And that's Rachel Carson. Now, the hero of this episode, actually, I'll read a quote, that something that I wrote, and then we'll end with John Kemp. This is something I wrote. One day, I finally understood hope. It is not a wishful thinking or state. It is the feeling tone of something that already is. It is the knowing that while outside appearances are representing one thing, in the case of farming, it could be the illness of plants in a dead soil, that the underlying truth is health and wholeness. But wise action is required of us humans because we are a part of this nature. No better, no bigger, no smarter, just a part. And now John Kemp. The first quote is, I see no consumer demand of tasteless strawberries.
That's succinct.
And hopefully these will be in the foreword of my new book. But these are from his podcast and things that I've noted down. The next one is a little bit longer. When we embrace responsibility, I see people's lives be so strongly associated with finding joy. Over and over, farmers tell us that they're having fun. It's so rewarding to engage in this process of co-creation with natural ecosystems. And to me, there seems to be this clear association and connection between assuming responsibility and finding joy in our lives, which in today's society, we have not nearly enough of. John Kemp.
Wow. Damn.
Beautiful. Darn. Oh, yeah, darn. Well, I don't know. I don't know if John Kemp swears or not, but I'm thinking probably not. He's Amish. He doesn't even drive a car. I think I told you he's driven. That's just part of his culture. He also doesn't have his face on Zoom. You know, he uses a beautiful kind of woodcut drawing. I'd like to learn more about the Amish community. And yeah, anything else?
No, you know, for me, as you were talking about this, I don't, you know, being Irish, you know, everybody talks about the potato famine, and you know that was caused by, you know, a fungus on the potatoes. And I'm just wondering, with the work that John and the people before him have, you know, done, you know, they'll have, they, you know, those kind of things won't happen again, and that that nature will take care of itself and know how to heal those kind of things. And I think this work that they're doing is really important, you know. So if something like that never happens again, so
it's a good point. Well, resilience is a word that's used.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the chemical companies would use that to say, oh, see, we could never go this direction because we will always need something for that circumstance, for that drastic circumstance. But as people understand it, that, you know, the resilience that's created, and there's story after story. And I really encourage people to learn this new language and let just the science, the nerdy science wash over you. Listen to the Regenerative Agriculture podcast and other farming podcasts. Some other farming podcasts are more, you know, like small farmer, you and garden farmers like you and I getting started. But I hope you listen. And thanks for listening to us.
Thank you, Lizzie. Great episode. It was
Farm
really nice.
Farm Punk.
Love life.
Riders pull me down life's lane. searching for the why of all the pain he knows.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows it'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. On and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the widest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's jimson weed and tumbleweeds. Join the party, join the crowd. Let the hyenas circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. Strangers cry.